are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday, and welcome into another edition of the Locked On NBA Podcast, breaking down the latest and greatest going on around the league. I'm Tony East, the host of Locked On Pacers, here with me to talk about a fun slate and some fun players that I used to watch all the time returning to the league this week. Big Dave himself from Locked On Bulls. How's it going, man?
I'm doing great. I have something I would have to ask you, okay?
So,
I want to give you some of Chicago's finest pizza. I want to give you Scottie Pippen's autographed biography and an autographed Luke Longley jersey for Sabonis or Turner. Either one. Either one works.
You know, all my podcast conversations have been about trades for like a month. So I'm trying to talk about actual games for once. If you are looking for the latest on the Pacers, who might be changing their whole team, boy, do I have you covered. And if you want the latest on the Bulls, who have had three of their last four games canceled, but just smoked the Lakers this weekend. Smoked is so aggressive, but still. Go check out Locked On Bulls with Dave over there. Tonight was fun in the NBA for me. Boogie went off. Lance Stephenson played. A couple other guys, blast from the past, checking in. Emmanuel Mudiay got in a game. I mean, it was really funky to see who was checking in for some of these teams. I had a great time watching them. And it led to a lot of upsets. And I want to start with an upset that looks like an upset, but isn't really when you look at who played. That's the Magic taking down the Hawks in Atlanta, 104-98, the Magic win. But Trae Young did not play. And that's going to be a lot of the theme of today's episode is who didn't play for these teams, because it's hard to know who didn't play. A lot of injuries for the Hawks. They started DeLon Wright and Skylar Mays as their backcourt for their starting five. But the big one for me, we're going to talk about a lot of big games in this first segment. Franz Wagner is apparently a rookie sensation. I thought he'd be good coming out of Michigan. He can kind of shoot and kind of defend at Michigan and had some nice skills. This guy can really score. He had 28 back in November against Minnesota. He had 27 against Philadelphia, two 20-point games earlier this month, and then 25 tonight against Atlanta. The Magic are not very good, but they have some fun young guys in games like this. They're a blast to watch.
They are, and I believe they have five players in double figures, and they were awesome shooting those threes, because when I was watching the game, in that third quarter is when everything kind of that's when the game kind of went into the game, if that makes any sense. It was a 16-2 run that was happening by the Hawks. And then all of a sudden, the Magic just started hitting threes just out of nowhere. And they could not stop them. And that was the whole problem with the Hawks today. They just had nothing for them defensively. So every time they would score, the Magic would come down and score. And you mentioned Wagner, man. That was like my first real time really, truly watching him. I like him. But I'm still trying to figure him out, because he can score, but just doesn't shoot at a high percentage. But he's so intelligent. And that's what I was really impressed by as far as he was concerned. He knows his limitations and he plays within them.
Yeah, it feels like if he was like 5% faster, he'd be the best rookie in the NBA. Right. He can't quite get by guys, so he's got to really think about how he can get open and stuff. The Magic, I mean, like, I get that the Hawks had some guys out. The Magic's entire bench and one of their starting guards is replacement players. Like, wow. They are really decimated right now, and they still won. Like, you got to give them a little bit of credit for that. Tim Frazier returning to the NBA for this. Freddie Gillespie was with the Raptors last year. Two other rookies and Admiral Schofield. The Hawks side, Cam Reddish. Huge game for Cam Reddish. I think everybody who watches a lot of NBA is a fan of Cam Reddish and thinks that one day he will blow up. 34 in this game, 6-10 from deep. He was magical scoring the ball. Pretty much was the best Hawks offensive player. He did play almost the whole game. John Collins had 28, and pretty much no one else in the Hawks did anything on offense.
That's exactly what I noticed, man, when I was watching. Collins going crazy. Cam Reddish going crazy. Also was like 6-10 from the three-point line. Like, Cam Reddish was awesome, man. But nobody else, and I mean nobody. I saw Gorgui Dieng out there, and I was like, oh, man, I forgot about him. And he's out there playing center. And then, like you say, I saw my main man, Lance, to make him dance. Stevenson was out there doing his thing. I was just so happy to watch him. Had the Jordans on while he was doing it. It was just great to see him out there playing, man. But yeah, they, like I said, they could not stop anybody. But those two guys, Cam and Collins, were really, really good.
Lance missed all his shots, but in typical Lance fashion, found a way to do something. 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Or Mr. Yeah. Stevenson. Hawks did pretty well in his minutes, so nice return for Lance, who's been trying to get back to the NBA for a while. As many Pacers fans who have listened to my show for a long time, no, I'm not the biggest fan of his game, but he can be fun, and he certainly. I know. He was very fun for the Pacers, that's for sure. But yeah, my man Sharif Cooper, one of my favorite rookies coming into this draft, did not play well in his first big minutes in the NBA. So at least fans got to watch Lance as their team lost at home. Let's move to the other game that gave me a fun vintage player performance. And I'm going to lead with this before I say the score or any stat from this game. I got to see a DeMarcus Cousins tip slam. And I haven't seen DeMarcus Cousins like that in a long time. Boogie for the Bucks this year is averaging 5.8 points and 3.7 rebounds per game in 9 games, only playing about 15 minutes per game. In this game, he plays 28 minutes, 18-8. Looks awesome. This is the best I think he's looked since rejoining the NBA with Milwaukee this year. They need him with Brooke Lopez out and some other guys in COVID protocols. No Giannis for the Bucks, and they still just completely rolled the Rockets because Drew was awesome. DeMarcus Cousins looked the best he's looking in a while, and Chris Middleton's great. And the Rockets are young and building, and they have games like this. But it's if Boogie can be anything for the Bucks, I mean, could they be better than last year?
That's a great question. I think they could be. I mean, Boogie was a perfect fit for them and how they run their offense. Because I remember when guys were talking about, oh, the Bulls should get them. Now, he doesn't really fit what the Bulls are trying to do because the Bulls like to run. And in Milwaukee, those guys, you know, you got Giannis. You know what I'm saying? So you already know how your offense is predicated. And you got Lopez. So those guys aren't going to be running up and down the floor all the time. Boogie is a perfect fit for them in their system that they run, including with Bobby Portis, who didn't play tonight either. But yeah, it was just great to see him perform and be good out there. 7-13 shooting. He looked smooth, was going to the buckets move, like you said, had a tip slam. Like, he played very, very well. But for me, the play that just stuck out to me the most was Jordan Norwa. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. But, man, that crossover he put on that guy on the Rockets when he put him on his behind with the step back three, special. That was the best play of the night.
Nwora, low-key, a good breakout candidate this year. I mean, he's not going to win any, like, awards for what he's doing, but he dropped Armani Brooks to the ground. You got to nail that three. He drilled it. It was awesome. Yeah,
you have to. Right.
That's one of those ones that, like, even if you're the worst player on the team, if you drop somebody, everyone's letting you shoot. No one cares. You're allowed to take it. But Jordan Nwora is not bad. He's not the worst player on that team. He had another nice game, 18 points. He started starting for them a few weeks ago. I remember the Pacers actually played them. Because they had so many guys out, and he continues to be like a pretty good fit for them. I think he's a sophomore this year. Nice spark for them. The Rockets also played. We should talk about them a little bit. This, I believe, per Shams Charania, is their last game without Jalen Green. So Rockets fans can get excited about having their number two pick back in the lineup tomorrow when they do play the Pacers. Christian Wood is always fun for me to watch, even though his defense is completely terrible. No one else gave them much on offense at all. I don't think anyone besides Wood. Oh, Alperen Şengün also. Those are the only two guys who shot above 50% for Houston. They could not get a lot going in this game, such as the struggles of a young team in general that's missing some key guards. But they did their best. They hung in there. They created some good looks, a lot of good assists. But they're a high turnover team. They don't shoot particularly well with young guys. I mean, they just had no chance against the Bucks, even though they had good games from their post players.
And yeah, you mentioned Christian Wood. He had the second play of the night with the and-one dunk that I saw him have. That was also very special. Every game, it seems like he's doing something like that for that team. You know, he's having that big play for that team every single time. He is a great player, man. He fits well with them. But you're right. They're so young. You know what I mean? They're just so young. They're going to have these growing pains and these trials and these tribulations. But I just like watching them play. Like when I saw them play the Bulls both times in the first game, when they just completely took it to the Chicago Bulls. But in that game back, you know, they just looked like the team that they were supposed to look like the first time. But yeah, kudos to the Rockets, though, man. They're going to be okay. They got some real good talent.
If we're going to give Jordan Nwora a dap for dropping Armani Brooks and joining the three, we also got to give him some whatever the opposite of dap is for getting bodied by Christian Wood on that dunk because he got yammed on. You got to call his parents, call his family, let them know he's not going to make it. Christian Wood has ended Jordan Nwora's life on that dunk. It was absolutely nasty. Yeah. Two-hand slams for posters just look cooler to me. I don't know. Just like your whole body's on top of the guy defending you. It was nasty. If the Rockets had won this game, that would have been the play of the night to me. It was awesome.
You're right.
So no really stunningly unexpected results tonight, but those two both were a little interesting given who was in and out for those teams. And that's kind of how the night went. You know, the Clippers beat the Kings, but the other two games that we'll talk about coming up featured some, to me at least, surprising results, even with who was in and out. So let's talk about those in a second. But first, let's talk about Prize Picks. We've been talking about them for months on Locked On Podcast. You got to sign up. Now is the perfect time because for a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer. Users get $50 for free if your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point in a game. All you got to do when you sign up is use the code NBA, and you will get this exclusive offer for Locked On fans. Just use, again, that code is NBA. You sign up, you do your flex play entry, you do whatever DFS prop you want, whatever you can think of. Pick a prop for points, assists, rebounds, for whatever your favorite player is. Whatever your entry is, if the guy you pick scores one point, you will get $50. Go to PrizePicks today. Make it happen. Use that promo code NBA when you sign up to be entered in to do that. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Let's also talk about Boost Mobile, because if you listen to podcasts like this, it's because you're getting the power of the inside track on the NBA. If you switch to Boost Mobile, you'll get the power of saving money, because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to the latest episodes and keep up with your favorite players and teams. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can share all the insights, and the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and all that edge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out, and get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Disclaimer: free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere or for all phones and networks. See boostmobile.com for more details. Three other games tonight. Celtics, after Joel Embiid destroyed them in the clutch a few nights ago, bounce back at home. That was an impressive Embiid performance. Bounce back at home against normally a good Cavs team, but no Mobley for them is unfortunate, obviously. They're missing a few other guys. Mobley, obviously, the key one there. Garland was good for them, but they got really nothing else offensively with a lot of guys out. The Celtics missing a bunch of centers, but they get Robert Williams back for this one, which really helped their rotation. And they got a ton of balance from their starting five, and they got confident Jaylen Brown, which is the difference for them between being a 500 team and a good team. So they just rolled. Jaylen Brown had 34. I wonder how many times the Celtics have lost when he scores 30-plus. It can't be many. But it's weird. Like, you can kind of tell by the way he jumps on his jumper, or, like, how close to the basket he gets on his layups, how confident he's feeling. There was confident Jaylen Brown tonight.
Yeah, and he was just special to watch, man. Like, he has those kind of games where you're like, why aren't you doing this every single game? How come this only comes and goes with you? You should be one of those guys every single night, man. Like, he and Tatum should be just a formidable, scary tandem every single night. It hasn't been consistent, you know what I'm saying? But when you get nights like this from him, man, you just have to tip your hat to him and enjoy what you're watching, because he is special out there when he is on, for real.
Yeah, there's a reason he was an All-Star last year, right? And in his they were man, I can't even count this fast. They, in games he scored more than 32 last year, they were 8-2, right? Like, he clearly can put a stamp on the Celtics when he scores really well. This game was more evidence of that. I mean, Tatum was 6-for-19, and it didn't even matter. They got enough from Brown to carry it along. And Robert Williams, 10-for-12.
Time Lord.
Everybody loves Time Lord. Even the Celtics love Time Lord. Excellent game for him back in the lineup. They really could have used him when they played Embiid a couple nights ago instead of just trotting out. And it's freedom all night on that one. So tough game in general for the Cavs. Garland has been unbelievable this year. His growth is just ridiculous. But here's how many guys are out for the Cavs. They started Taco Fall at center, right?
Yes. And yes.
You know, Taco, he has some advantages. He's super tall. He got 10 rebounds in only 19 minutes. He cannot really move or create a shot at all. Though his minutes did not go well. The Cavs bench played okay and kept him in this game, but in general, they didn't have the firepower. You know, Sexton's been out for them all year, obviously, again, missing Mobley, missing Jared Allen. They didn't have enough in this game. So it makes sense why they lost. They couldn't have the firepower, but it was fun to see Taco Fall start and to see Garland continue to be awesome.
Yeah, here's all you need to know about Cleveland's woes tonight. Denzel Valentine played 26 minutes. That's really all you need to know right there. That is a recipe for not winning. As soon as I saw him out there in the second quarter, I was like, oh, this game isn't going to go right for them. He should not be out there that long for that many minutes, or you're going to have struggles, trials, and tribulations when he's out there doing it like that. Also, Lauri Markkanen, another blah game for him as well, man. I think he had 7 points, 9 rebounds, 2-of-12 from the field, 0-of-5 from the three-point line. And he was getting completely bodied in the paint. Every time he even thought about going inside, they were like, no, get out of here. He would try to fight. They say, nope, bye. He would run to the sideline. And it was over for him, man. So between those two guys, man, when Lowry's playing like that and when Denzel's playing that many minutes, it's a recipe for disaster, honestly.
Pretty impressive we made it this far without saying that CJ Miles and Joe Johnson suited up in an NBA game in this game. Yeah. Three replacement COVID players played for the Cavs, including Justin Anderson, who was a first-round pick a few years ago, played for Team USA this year. And on the Celtics side, CJ Miles, Joe Johnson, and Justin Jackson are their replacement players. Joe Johnson, drafted by the Celtics like two decades ago, hit a bucket tonight, his first bucket in the NBA in a while. That was – it's just one shot, and yet it was so cool. Like, everyone, even the opposing team, was kind of like, yeah, all right.
You know what's funny? They showed a picture. They said, you want to know how long it's been for Joe Johnson in the NBA? And they were like, this long. And it was a picture of him guarding Wizards Jordan. It's been that long. It's been that long for Joe.
When Joe Johnson was drafted by the Celtics, I'm about to date myself, I was six. I was 6 years old.
Wow.
And he is now playing again for them. I mean, it's crazy that he's back.
That's a good trip.
It was impressive, man. It was cool to see him score and get in the game. We'll talk about him in the next segment, talking about some of our favorite replacement players. Let's go to Denver OKC. This one, the big upset of the night. Jokic did play, yet the Thunder destroy the Nuggets by 14. And the thing with Denver this season is I feel like it's the same game for them a lot, where Jokic is good. The rest of their guys just don't give him enough to lose. A rare game where that is not the case tonight. They were getting blown out by so much that Jokic didn't play that much, but he had 13, 7, and 3, and they were minus 15 in his minutes. A lot of credit deserved for the Thunder in this game. Ridiculously balanced attack. Six guys in double figures. Shea with 27. He was fantastic. Lou Dort with 15. Darius Bazley off the bench with 17. They got a lot from their young guys and their youth, as they usually do. But the Nuggets is kind of my takeaway here, that like, I know who they are at this point. They have so many guys out. They have some replacement players playing, right? Devon Reed has been on their team for like 3 weeks now as a replacement player, because they've had a lot of injuries in general. But if Jokic even shot 55%, like, did okay, but they just cannot get anything from anybody else, and it really plagues them so much.
It's true. Honestly, I was way more focused on OKC, but you're right about the Nuggets. And what also was very weird was Mike Malone took, you know, all his starters out, and they kind of closed the gap in the fourth quarter. You know, they kind of got it to 10.
Big
and he
time.
Still wouldn't he wouldn't put Jokic back in the game. And it was like 6 minutes left, and they were down by 10, and he wouldn't put them in the game. Now, I know that their starters, you know, haven't been playing well, you know, as of late, and maybe he was trying to teach them a lesson or something like that. I don't know. But I know that game could have been won with your MVP on the floor, and he just didn't put him back in the game. But the Nuggets, man, like, they were really impressive to me, because they came out from the start and they took it to them. I believe in the first half, they had 42 points in the paint. They ended up with 62. It was just they were dominating them inside, man. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man. Oh, my goodness, man. Another triple-double, 27, 10, and 12. And he scored or assisted on 51 of their 108. Like, the dude is special. Like, he is just a truly special basketball player. So I really have to give them a lot of credit with what they did. And also 60 rebounds by the Thunder, too, is going to get you a lot of victories as well.
I don't want them to trade Shai, but I want Shai on a good team very badly. He is such a delight. I am rooting for the Thunder to get good quickly. Actually, I don't want their egregious tanking to really succeed, because it drives me crazy that that's a strategy the NBA sports. But I want Shai on a good team bad enough that I'll make an exception for OKC in this situation. They've got some pieces that are growing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying they got a lot of draft picks. They got things.
They got a lot of picks. Dort looks nice. Giddey looks nice. Baisley's awesome. Trey Mann's had some nice G League games. I love Pokuševski for all the wrong reasons. They'll be there eventually, but the Thunder just need something, man. I don't know. Like, it's like kind of the same with Embiid, but not really, where I get that there's injuries, like a reason your star's not playing with you, but you can't waste seasons of these dudes' primes who are MVPs or MVP candidates. You know, you got to try something. I don't know what the Nuggets do or how they improve their team besides wait for health to come around. But, I mean, losing by 14 to the Thunder, only scoring 32 points combined in the first and third quarters, which is when you mentioned their starters getting their ass kicked. That's when that was happening. That just has to be better. They want to be the playoff contender that they want to be. Let's go to the most normal game of the night, which is weird to say. But in these times in the NBA, a normal game is weird. There's either something weird happening or the score doesn't make sense. The Clippers in Sacramento, easy win. Easy win over the Kings. Their bench was awesome. Serge Ibaka, who had been out of the rotation, DNPs for Serge Ibaka in LA recently, plays a bunch, scores 17 points, possibly his best game of the season. I'd have to double check that, because I haven't watched every Clippers game because I live on the East Coast. But he was excellent for them off the bench. Eric Bledsoe gave them good minutes. And the Kings, without Fox, they have trouble getting organized a lot. They played their starters a ton of minutes because they have some COVID issues. In fact, they have a lot of COVID issues. So the better team just controlled this game. I don't really have a big takeaway besides it's good to see Serge Ibaka finally playing a little bit like this is only his second game of the season in double figures. Finally playing like that guy we know he can be.
It looked like a layup drill for a while for the Clippers and how they were playing. They were completely destroying them on fast breaks. I believe at one point in the fourth quarter, it was 29-6. I don't remember what it finished with, but it was ridiculous what they were doing to him. And you're right, killing them with the bitch points. That was also a killer, man. Points in the paint was destructive. Buddy Hield, oh my goodness. In the fourth, he was 1 of 13. I believe he ended up, 5 of 22 or something like that?
I typed 1 for 10 at some point in the fourth in my notes. Yeah. So I don't know exactly when that was, but yeah, it was brutal.
So crazy. And what did he take? 18 threes? I think he was 5 of 18 for the three-point. Yeah. He had a really tough game. But they had Tyrese Halliburton, who had his fourth straight game of 20 and 10. That dude is nice. Tyrese Halliburton is really special for him. His career high in assist also came tonight as well.
So talking about the Kings for a second, and Halliburton specifically, I saw Matt George, the Locked On Kings host, kind of bring this up. If Halliburton's natural position is point guard, how does that make you think about the fit between him and Fox? Because he's been killing it with Fox out.
Dude, I've been saying that. I had this discussion with Matt about him there because I want De'Aaron Fox. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to fit like that. Obviously, he is more comfortable being your point guard. You could see it every time he was out there playing. You just see how much more comfortable he is. I don't think De'Aaron Fox is long for the Kings, man. I think it's going to be Tyrese Halliburton because the fit is just better at that position. And De'Aaron Fox, man, I love to see him on another team, preferably mine because I love him, but I love to see him on another team, man, because he's awesome.
Yeah, the Kings just no bench at all. They only had 7 normal rotation guys, so they played him a bunch of minutes. Emmanuel Mudiay, that's a name I had heard.
Yay!
Played 8 minutes in this game. Didn't score, but 2 assists. Damian Jones, Robert Woodard, Jamias Ramsey, Aiden Merkey, NBA debut for him. Those are the names playing at the end of the Kings bench. Hard to know much about those guys. So,
yeah,
the Clippers were the better roster. They cruised. Paul George didn't have to try that hard. Still had 17-6, and they win his minutes. So there's been, the Kings guys weren't as fun, but there has been some fun new additions to the NBA in the past couple weeks for all the wrong reasons, but still some fun new additions to the NBA. I want to talk about our favorite guys who we've seen play for the first time in a while, or maybe just the first time this season, and maybe some guys I have a specific name in mind who could still come around and play again this season. But before we talk about that, let's talk about Truebill, because they're going to help you cancel those subscriptions that you forget about. The free trials renew without your consent all the time, and that's a business scam that is out to get you. Stop letting those greedy corporations pocket your money. Get Truebill, the app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. They have over 2 million users and have helped them save over $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen today. Check out any of the team-specific shows on the Locked On NBA Network to either hear about how COVID is impacting a team and what new players they could sign or how the team is playing. There's so many interesting things going on in the NBA right now. Christmas games in just 2 days for a lot of these teams. We mentioned Lance Stephenson and Joe Johnson today. Isaiah Thomas had a double-digit scoring game just last week for the Lakers. Who has been your favorite replacement player addition to the NBA so far?
I was over the moon excited to see Lance Stephenson. I really was. I was just happy to see he was back in the league and back playing. I've always liked him, man, because he'll do enough and then he'll do something to be like, oh, this is why teams keep trading you. I love Lance Stephenson, man. I'm sure he's beloved by a nice majority in Indiana. I'm sure you can attest to that.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I love Lance Stephenson. I love the fact Emmanuel Mudiay is back in the league. Just the fact, I was like, wait a minute. I completely forgot all about him. And I was like, wow, he's back in the league. You mentioned CJ Miles. I used to be a big CJ Miles guy. I thought he really could do it, man. It just didn't, injuries and things just didn't work out for him, man. And Isaiah Thomas is just a great story because he should have been in the league last year. You know what I'm saying? He should have been in there. But overall, man, for me, it's my man Lance to make him Dan Stevenson, man.
Maybe I'm the only guy who likes Tyler Johnson left of NBA fandom. The Sixers signed him today. They'll play later this week. man. Tyler Johnson, yeah, was pretty good for the Nets in past seasons, and he ended up getting like a $50 million deal with the Heat. Do not forget, he's a $50 million man.
Never forget.
Yeah, he is back on a 10-day. I like him. I think he can be quite good for Philly and helpful. They don't get a lot of ball handling. He was in the league last year and quietly kind of decent for the Nets. Shot 36% from deep. Perhaps he can help the Sixers team. Marquese Chriss closing the game for the Mavs, his first day back in the league. He had some good rim running. You don't like Marquese Chriss?
No, I'm just shocked at the name. Yeah. I like Marquese Chriss,
He kind of figured out his role as a rim runner with Golden State and then didn't really make an impression anywhere else. He has been awesome. And I can't believe you didn't say this one. Talk about Alphonso McKinney clearly earning a spot on the Bulls. He's been one of the best players on these COVID replacement lists.
He has been absolutely amazing. The first game that he was in, I believe, was a blowout when we played the Heat. And he stood out in that game, you know, with his shooting. But this last game that he just played, oh my goodness. He came in, he had an Alphonso McKinney series where he comes down, he hits a three, goes down the other way, blocks the shot, comes back, hits another pull-up three. I was like, okay, sign him now. Like, give him a job. Like, he's in. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's taking people's spots. He's earned it. He's tall. He can shoot. And he plays both ends of the floor. And he's got a high IQ. And he's from Chicago. So, yeah, all of that means he should be on the Bulls.
Yeah, I keep seeing the sentiment that he should be on the team. Isaiah Thomas's first two games with the Lakers. 19 points on 41% shooting against Minnesota. 13 points on 45% shooting and 3-for-7 from deep against Chicago. Stunk it up against the Suns two nights ago. But first two games were impressive and perhaps a sign that he still can contribute to an NBA team despite, for some reason, him not being in the league besides, a 10-day, I think, with New Orleans last year. This has been a good sign for him, I think. And you know, the Lakers have struggled since they signed him. I think there was like some viral tweet about their record with him. Yeah. But
0-3.
He's been good for them. I don't think it's really his fault that they've struggled in his minutes. And those are the kind of a lot of these guys, it's nice to see them make the league for the first time, but those are the kind of ones that I like. Like James Ennis is back in the league. He can kind of help the Nets when he's out there. And you mentioned Lance, like he gave the Hawks some good minutes tonight, and CJ Miles as well. Joe Johnson, we talked about last segment, maybe a little too much. You know, those kind of ones are really fun to me to see those guys get back and contribute. You know who's next? I'm just guessing here, but you know whose name I haven't heard that I'm surprised I haven't heard at all yet?
Okay.
J.J. Redick.
Oh.
I can't believe he hasn't. I kind of feel like he'd be like the first call for a lot of these teams.
That's interesting. Do you think he still wants to play, though? Because it feels that's like he's making question. That position. You know what I'm saying? I keep seeing him on ESPN. He's got the podcast and everything. Does he want to be that guy to get in the NBA? I mean, he won't have to do much. I mean, he'll just have to be J.J. Redick and get out there and shoot. But I don't know if he wants it or not, man. But I don't know. I'm not in his brain. I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, that's totally fair. Maybe he doesn't. But that just seems like such a natural fit for a lot of these contending teams, especially because like Philly and Brooklyn were the two teams that he reportedly wanted to go to, and they've been signing other dudes. I mean, it figures if they would want someone, they'd go to him.
I got
you. Feel like one last thing on these replacement players, because, you know, as soon as the league announced that they're going to force teams to sign replacement guys, which is fine. It doesn't count against the cap or anything. It's not my money. You know, I kind of was like, oh, no, you know, this could really impact the quality of games with guys that haven't played very much or practiced and are coming in unfresh. Do you feel like you've noticed that in the last couple of days? Like, I actually have been, outside of, I think, the Kings today, you know, I don't think there's any replacement players that have played that I've gone, this is really impacting the game. What it has missed, like Trae Young being out in health and safety, obviously makes the Hawks way less fun to watch. That is impacting the game in a big way. But I was worried the replacement players themselves would be kind of lower quality just because they weren't in the league before this week. But I've actually been kind of impressed that a lot of them have kind of fit right in the league. I mean, the talent of basketball on the planet is just crazy.
That's exactly it right there. The talent level is insane. And so for people to think just because you're out of the league that you're not talented enough to be in the league is not the case. We just talked about Isaiah Thomas. We know he's completely talented and should have been in the league, but it just hasn't happened yet. Another name I wanted to mention, Jamal Crawford. Like Jamal Crawford is another one that should be in the basketball league right now. Like, I don't know why he hasn't gotten a call yet. But he's completely talented and you know what he can do. But for some reason, he's just not in the league anymore. J.J. Redick, all these guys you mentioned can still play the game of basketball. So I'm not surprised that they're coming in and doing their thing because, you know, they staying ready. You know, guys want to play and they want to stay ready. And plus, basketball is 365 days a year. You can go overseas and do it. There's a bunch of places you could do it here, a bunch of tournaments or wherever. Joe Johnson, you know he was staying around with the big three and everything like that. So, yeah, it's a bunch of ways guys can continue to play this sport.
One last guy I want to shout out that I missed on the transaction log because he was literally the first name is Langston Galloway, who was like good for Detroit 2 years ago, was at least somewhat of a contributor for a team that made the finals last year in Phoenix. Like he was in their playoff rotation, if I recall, for some games last year. And I was like, why, how did he not make a team? You know, I kind of thought that he'd be a lock to make it. Yeah, he played in a couple of Phoenix's playoff games as they made it to the finals. Didn't make a roster this year. That surprised me. The Nets scoop him up. Immediately, he's helping them out, right? Like, yeah. That's just how these guys are. He's good enough to play. He played 22 and a half minutes in the Nets last game. Like, these guys are just out there. It's crazy how good NBA players are. And I hope that they can continue to prove themselves and either get a job or prove that they deserve a longer stint in the league for a lot of cases in these guys.
Yeah, they're making it a lot harder for a lot of guys who have roster spots on the team.
Yeah.
They're making it a lot harder for them. So when these guys get back, it's some tough decisions that some of these teams have to make, man.
Well, especially the last point I want to make here is like the day that contracts become guaranteed is in like 2 weeks from today, right? So if you're a guy who teams are thinking about your guarantee spot and some replacement player comes in and just is awesome, you might be out of the league because of all this. So everybody's got to step up to keep their spot because of this competition. I've been actually enjoying it more than I thought I would, especially seeing, again, to close out, to see Joe Johnson play again. I never thought that would happen. So that was cool.
You need it. That's all you needed right there. Like you stopped it.
I saw Joe do one more snake around a screen dribble, fade away from 12 feet and drill it. He still got it. He'll have it my whole life. You can follow Dave on Twitter at Ball Sports. Or actually, you got to say it. You have a way you say it.
Oh, yeah. You have to, like I said, you have to say it like Avery Johnson is saying it. Bow. Because that's how Avery Johnson says basketball. That's the way the name came from and everything. It's because of Avery Johnson. Get the basket. That. Bow. You get the bow. That's how you got to say it. Bow. So put that in there.
I need more lore to my name. He's over at Lockdown Bulls to get all the latest and greatest on the Bulls. I'm at T East NBA covering the Pacers, who are the most confusing team in the league right now. So if you want more information on them, go check me out there. Thank you guys a ton for listening. Tomorrow, more coverage on the league, of course, on this Lockdown NBA stream. Don't miss it. Thank you guys a ton. Have a good one.